And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this Tuesday afternoon, the 21st of January. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And can you believe it? We're finally above zero. We've warmed up about 25 degrees, more than that, actually, since our morning low. So if you think it feels a little warmer, it does, but there's still a little breeze out there, and we've got a little bit of snow on the forecast. More on that in just a bit. But another bitterly cold. This is the coldest morning so far this winter season, Bridget, with 23 below is what we bottomed out at.
It's been a little brisk, not unusual. I mean, this is January in North Dakota, and we know that our friends to the north of us probably saw it even worse in the last few days. But nonetheless, it's going to warm up. It's going to be fine. I think for the most part, folks came through it pretty well. The casualties are going to include car batteries, water tanks with livestock waterers on them as a part of their problems, tractors that didn't maybe start as easily as one would hope. But I think for the most part, folks did everything they could to stay warm and sheltered as needed.
Yeah, it was definitely a cold one. And this cold air goes all the way deep into the heart of Dixie, where for the first time ever, blizzard warnings were issued along the Gulf Coast, southern Louisiana, picking up 3 to 5 inches of snow, blizzard conditions in New Orleans. That has never, ever occurred before. So this cold air mass is encompassing much of the lower 48. It's something we haven't seen. I mean, it's not record cold for us, but it's hard to fathom that areas of Louisiana have had a bigger snow event than we have here in North Dakota. It's just that I can't wrap my head around that. That just doesn't add up.
And keep in mind how unprepared those poor folks are.
I remember
years ago flying into Atlanta where they'd received some snow and there was nobody moving. They were literally fearful of that inch and a half of snow on the ground because they had no idea how to drive in it or handle it. Their homes are not prepared, especially if you think about Louisiana. So they're going to need several sweaters. And I bet there's quite a run on small heaters to be used in homes and under desks at offices and so forth. But it's going to get better, folks.
It will be okay. We make it every year. I wonder if they closed down Bourbon Street, because you know that's never happened before. If the snow was bad enough where they closed down Bourbon Street.
Let's be honest. If the only thing that the snow could possibly do on Bourbon Street is help it smell better, but I can't rule out that it actually helped.
Yeah, right.
We'll see if it worked. But I mean, overall, Louisiana, they'll be okay. The little ice on the swamps, gators might not like it much.
Yeah, right. No doubt about it. Well, our weather in comparison is getting better, and that's good news. In fact, we've got temperatures out there right now, as I said, finally above zero, and we're going to keep on ticking upwards today to about 12 above with clouds thickening up, and we'll see a few snow showers come into the area towards evening with south winds on the breezy side, about 10 to 25. For tonight, we'll continue with a few snow showers through the area with steady or slowly rising temperatures, winds out of the southwest, about 10 to 15. And tomorrow is a tale of two stories. We're going to start the morning in the low 20s. Another Arctic front blasts through, switching our winds out of the north at about 15 to 30 and gusting higher. So what little snow we get, which will be about a half inch, will be blowing around tomorrow afternoon. After our morning high in the low 20s, we'll be in the single digits by the drive home with wind chills about 20 to 25 below. Then we're down back 5 to 10 below tomorrow night, 5 to 10 above on Thursday, and then back in the 20s on Friday with a few more snow showers. But the bitterly, and I'm talking the dangerously cold weather that we just had, I don't see that returning, at least in the foreseeable future. We'll see a little piece of that late tomorrow into Thursday. But other than that, a more normal-looking forecast in terms of temperatures, a few clipper systems. I've had a few people ask me, do you foresee any decent measurable snow where we might be able to get the snowmobiles out? And quick answer to that is, according to the LRC, the month of February should be a little stormier, will be a little warmer as well. But that first week in February, we've got one, maybe two decent clipper systems coming through the area, which should deposit some more meaningful snow through the area. So we'll be watching that. I think the first one comes through about February 2nd. and then there might be one quickly following that. So we'll see how that all pans out. But we need the moisture. We could use the snowpack. Just for everything, for anything from agriculture to our snowmobilers. You know, any outdoor activities, we could use a little more in the way of moisture for sure.
Well, this weather update is sponsored by Ryan Bonesack with Equitable AgriFinance. He is providing long-term fixed rates for farmland financing, and he's here to help local farmers. And don't forget about you ranchers. Give him a call at 701-261-6529 if you have an interest, and he'd be really happy to help. Now, you mentioned things that are going to be happening with the LRC, et cetera. I've noticed on the LRC as well that as they talked about that first week of February, we're still looking like we are clear for February 5th. In fact, that temperature-wise is looking very nice because we'll be hosting Agronomy on Ice up at Devil's Lake. It is farm show season tomorrow, Sioux Falls Farm Show. That'll be going on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, every day from 9 to 5, Friday 9 to 4. And it'll be at the Denny Sanford Center down in Sioux Falls. 330 exhibitors, over 1,000 agricultural products and services, and anticipating well over 18,000 folks in attendance from the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, and Nebraska. I myself will be down there as well, taking in that show and probably getting a chance to visit with all the exhibitors, talk to them about what's happening in their areas of expertise, you might say, and just looking forward to being a part of another trade show that happens this time of year. So thank you to the folks in Sioux Falls who've graciously invited me to stop by. That sounds like an awesome place to go. And when you said it's cold out, Dean, I just had a video come to me from some livestock producers. This was actually down in Oklahoma. They're not used to a lot of freezing temperatures either. And they had a young calf that wandered away from the herd and started walking out on a pond on ice and got fairly far out until it broke through. Thankfully, those ranchers saw that calf and, well, they had a bit of a polar plunge. All they had to do was wade out and break the ice away so the calf could swim back because, unfortunately, it was sort of stuck. And so let's keep an eye on those critters, try to keep them from doing something like that. Here we shouldn't have to worry because we are looking at iced conditions right now, especially on those still moving waters where we don't have current. We're probably at 24 or 25 inches of ice right now. So it's coming along great.
That's good. That's great for ice fishing. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt about it.
People will be happy, right? Very happy about it.
And just to show you that what a difference weather makes in different parts of the country. So they canceled classes. Bentley did not have classes today down in Nebraska. As their wind chills were 25 below, and yet we're up here 45 below, and we'll get through it. We'll get through it. But so it makes a huge difference, doesn't it? I mean, depending
regular
where you live
in the neighborhood.
Yep, no doubt, no doubt.
Well, some of the other things that have been going on right now, as far as farm shows, etc. The Consumer Electronics Show just was held in Las Vegas, and it's not really a farm show. When you think about the Consumer Electronics Show, that's where spectacular things such as Apple iPhones was first announced and so many more things, the smartphones, etc. Well, when you think about the latest exhibitors at the Consumer Electronics Show, one of them was winning the top spots, John Deere, Kubota tractors, because Kubota also came in with a pretty impressive autonomous tractor setup that they were showing off. And there's so many more things. If you talk to particularly orchard growers, they notice right away that they are able to redeploy their labor. They have figured out that there are really great opportunities for them to use some of these tractors. So for instance, with John Deere's, they have taken it from a 2D view to a 3D view. There are 16 different cameras pointed all four directions, and the cameras correct themselves without moving parts to steady the image that's going on while it's in unstable conditions. Gives the tractor the opportunity to run at about 12 miles an hour. That doesn't sound fast, but I would really love for you guys to try to give it a run at 12 miles an hour. See how you do. That's 40% faster than prior systems, and that shortens up tillage operations to the point that it can cut down by about 2 weeks the time it would take in field if you were using standard labor. And also it reacts extremely quickly to changing conditions, like someone stepping in front of it. So the safety factors are improving very quickly when it comes to these autonomous tractors. So we've talked a lot about that in the last couple of weeks, but it has been very striking as this new equipment starts to hit the market. Who's going to have it? Who's going to afford it? Not everybody, but eventually, as my farming brothers would say, in 20 years from now, I'll be able to use that equipment. So we'll see what it looks like down the road.
And Bridget, I've got an answer to the Bourbon Street. Is it open or not? Just pulled up a live camera. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. There's no traffic in terms of cars. 5 people in the street having a snowball fight right now. That's off there. They're probably the first time they've ever seen snow.
I am hoping that for the most part they have jackets and maybe a pair of gloves because they might need them.
They actually do. They look pretty bundled up. They look pretty. Oh, man. That's fun. That's hilarious.
Well, someone else who would find this very unusual is going to be our guest today. 2 weeks in a row, we're going to have a guest from New Mexico. We'll be joined shortly by Chris Morgan. Chris works with a ranch rodeo association. What's a ranch rodeo and how's it different from regular rodeos? Chris is going to be able to tell us that and so much more. So I'm looking forward to visiting with him and all the things that he does connected to agriculture in New Mexico. So we're going to catch up with the Northern Ag Network markets and be right back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:21 in the afternoon. And, you know, Bridget, this must be our lucky day. This is, I believe, the second day in a row that we are graced with the piping voice of one of our most distinguished listeners, John. John, what in the world, how are we so lucky to have you on the show 2 days in a row? What are you going to enlighten us with today, buddy?
Well, first of all, I think I solved your furnace problem.
Which is?
I hope you got good insurance, though. You have good insurance, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, there might be a little siding damage, but I dragged the heater that I used to warm up the engines on the WAG drone and just kind of aimed it in through your garage door. So your house should be nice and toasty.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Where's Bourbon Street? All they got to do is open a few doors. The fumes will melt the snow and ice. That's not an issue there.
Well, that's a good point. See,
he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
If you've ever spent any time on Bourbon Street, you understand that the snow can only be a cleansing effect.
Right.
Well, you know, I have done the Bourbon tour because Bourbon is my middle name on certain occasions. So, Bridget, much to your chagrin, I hate to say this, but I was getting pummeled with emails last night about all the chemtrails over the Gulf of America.
I'm so glad they're sending them to you because I would have just deleted them. So, thanks for taking that for me.
Yeah, I was going to CC you, you know, into the stream, and I thought, no, that might result in serious bodily injury on my part, so I just kind of left it alone.
Just so you know, John, that won't be my first bar fight, so thanks for taking one for the team. Much appreciated.
Oh, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that one.
You know, on my door, it just says to serve. Not to protect and serve, but to serve.
Fair enough. And you can do it 12 ounces at a time. So thank you, John. Much appreciated.
Actually, in my world, it's 1 ounce at a time preferred. Hey, you know, on the plus side, it's like 0 degrees out here today. Dean and I will be wearing Speedos after the show.
Oh, boy.
What a horrible mental image. I don't normally take the initiative to turn my mic on, but I didn't need that to start my day.
You're right.
Now that it's seared into your memory for the afternoon, I bid you for it.
Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.
Wow. Oh. Our poor guest had to listen to this. Are you kidding?
Man. Speaking of our guest, Chris Morgan, how are you?
I am cold, but not as cold as y'all. I mean, I've spent the last 4 days out in the woods, and I think the lowest morning, I think it was 1 degree, and there was about a half inch of snow. But the afternoon warmed up to 50. Now, I got home yesterday, And we got down to minus two. So y'all can keep your weather. Please come retrieve it.
Right.
I've had several.
Not why I live here.
No, I've had several folks say, please get your weather off my lawn. I can't do this anymore. So I understand where you're coming from, Chris. So, totally Chris, fine. Give an introduction, if you would, please. I introduced you as being a part of Ranch Rodeo Association, but oh, there's so much more.
Yeah, we'll start off with that. So, as you said, my name's Chris Morgan. I have to give a giant shout-out to my friend Sarah Ford out at the Fargo wing of the Air National Guard there. She's a dear friend. I've been up there a couple of times thanks to her. I was former active duty Air Force or active guard just like her. Since then, I've become a contractor. But my big focus and my family's big focus is registered paint horses. And, of course, the ranch rodeo is kind of our passion is what it is. That's what we do here. We started this program back in 2020, right during COVID, and said, hey, let's bring some entertainment back to our part of New Mexico. So for those of you familiar, we're in Albuquerque. Go straight east about 40 miles over the mountains, and that's where we're at. We sit in a high desert valley known as the Estancia Valley, which is where our rodeo gets its name from, is the Estancia Valley Ranch Rodeo. And it's a lot of fun, Bridget. We do it every July. It's thank goodness it's usually around monsoon season. So we get a nice evening rain or afternoon rain, and then by the time show starts, it's a beautiful evening. So
that sounds like a perfect way to end a day. But okay, let me just back up a little bit. We'll get to paint horses and certainly talking about your military service in time here. But ranch rodeo, when most folks think of rodeo, they're there for the excitement of bull riding, bronc, team roping. That's not always the same events that you're doing at ranch rodeo, correct?
No. So we are part of the Working Ranch Cowboy Association based out of Amarillo, Texas. They focus on what these guys and girls do Monday through Friday out on the ranch to keep America in cattle. So think about Yellowstone, but like in real life. Our events have sorting, where you're actually like sorting cattle out, stray gathering. It's team roping, but on steroids because you've got two calves and four ropers. We practice branding. We also do something called ranch bronc riding, which is, you know, what happens if your horse breaks in half while you're riding it. So you have a rope and chaps and the saddle horn. And then the one that everyone loves is wild cow milking. So imagine taking a cow that does not want to be touched, and you're going to get a beer bottle worth of milk, or at least 10 drops into it in an open field. And that's the one I have to say, that's the one where I almost got it last year and had to jump over a fence into some couple from Italy that was sitting in the front row. I landed in their laps and they started carrying on and I'm like, no habla. Wow.
So sorry, I had to spill your popcorn, but I really needed to get away from that arena right now. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, sorry, I promise.
Chris, how long did that take?
You know, it depends. Some of these kids are really fast. We've got some young cowboys that they usually pick the skinniest, fastest, longest legged guy to go, you know, run the beer bottle back to the judge and I. And some of them do it in under a minute. That means they let the cow out, they rope it, they milk it, and then they run across the arena to drop the beer bottle off with the judge. Yeah, and it's, like I said, most time they get these young, wiry kids, but every so often you get, you know, somebody like me that's been around a little bit and a little bit rounded. And, man, some of these old guys can hustle, so props to them.
Wow.
There is no doubt that when in doubt, you can become an Olympic sprinter too. I understand, Chris.
Oh, the ones that are great are the ones that fall because you're wearing boots and they mm-hmm. put their finger over the beer bottle and hold it and they'll see roll it. And they roll into the ring and they lift up the and they've still got it. I mean, these are the guys that I want to go party with because you're not going to waste any beer.
No, they don't want that to happen. They went through all that work for that precious droplet. Okay.
Exactly.
Before we get to bottom of the hour news, I have to ask, when you say practice branding, Are we talking fire brands, freeze brands? You got electric brands. How exactly are you going to get that brand on that animal loose in an arena?
We use chalk, and they rope it. They drag it out basically to a big chalk bucket, and they use a brand and actually put a little chalk mark on it. This is a fun one because you get a lot of young kids that come out and help their teams participate in that one. So you see the daughters and the sons of the Cowboys that are on the team that actually come out and help carry on that generation.
Oh, that's excellent. All right, folks, with us today is Chris Morgan. He is calling us from New Mexico. He is part of the Working Ranch Cowboy Association, and we have so many more questions, and I bet you do too. You are welcome to reach us on our phone line, 701-293-9000. Emails can be sent to weather or ag at flagfamily.com, and you can be watching us live, not just listening, on youtube.com or facebook.com, as well as Acres TV. We will be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you so much. Hopefully you are listening while you're working in the shop today and not struggling to get tractors started or the like. Well, as you heard, and we were coming back in from our break, that if you are interested in talking about insurance, check with JLA Insurance. Nate Thorsrud is owner and a farmer on a farm, family farm near Grandin, North Dakota. So he has deep roots in insurance as well as farming. He knows what you will need and understands so much more because of his family background and actively farming. He's not going to sell you insurance you don't need. So Nate will come to you to talk. Just give him a call, 701-371-0311. And we have a great guest with us, and that's Chris Morgan. He is in New Mexico. Chris is part of the Working Ranch Cowboy Association. And so, Chris, let's say that it's time for WDAY to put together their ranch rodeo team. What do we got to do? First of all, get to New Mexico, but what else does someone do when it's time?
Well, so the cool thing about it is anybody that has a team that shows that they derive their income from ranching or cattle operation can form a team. So most time it's five people because you need, like I said, one young wiry guy to run for you. You need one that's a ranch bronc rider because a lot of us older guys, that just hurts to come off a horse. Then you need a couple guys that can rode. And that's the neat thing is, like, you look here in the state of New Mexico, we've got some really massive ranches. We're talking 10, 15, 20,000 acres, and they have teams just as much as the little cow-calf operations. They go in together to form these teams. Here in the state, I want to say we probably have 10 teams, which reflects just our ranching heritage. Here in New Mexico, we have been a cattle mainstay for years, since the Spanish got here, which also plays into the fact that our rodeo, just like all of them, support the WRCA Foundation, which is a charity that gives scholarships and emergency funds to these working cowboys and cowgirls if something goes bad. As y'all might know, down here in the Southwest, we've had lots of range fires, massive fires in the Texas Panhandle that have taken out, cow-calf operations from border to border. And the WRCA is there to kind of give back. And that's the real big reason why we do it is we have a lot of fun, but we also love to get back. So y'all bring a team down. I'll help you get carted, and I'll save you a spot.
Well, thanks, because I don't mind getting carted. It's been a while. They recognize me now.
Fair,
okay.
Fair.
So Chris, I heard you say, that the Charity Foundation helps to support when there are cowboys in need. And I'm wondering if this is something we can talk about, but sometimes things happen in the arena. 2 years ago, I remember watching the Budweiser Clydesdales, a hitch went down, and how quickly the veterinarians and the trainers got there, and they kept the audience calm. The announcer did a wonderful job of calming everyone down so that there wasn't a lot of noise to bother the horses. And then those on the arena floor managed to untangle all 8 horses without an injury. All the horses got back up and everything was fine. When something like that happens in the arena for you, do you have a team who's there? Because it's not just the cowboys you got to take care of. It's the animals that could be in need as well.
No, and that's one wonderful thing is I am married to a registered vet technician, and our best friend is a veterinarian, so we have at least two veterinarians on site. And all these cowboys, cowgirls know, you know, if a horse goes down, if a cowboy goes down, how to get in there and just take charge and work with that animal or work with that cowboy to get them taken care of. Unfortunately, as you know, remember, Bridget, a couple of years ago, we had a young cowboy get killed at our event. He was, I guess he was on a television show, Trace Adkins, Cowboy Challenge or something like that. And he came off the horse wrong and landed. And, unfortunately he did not make it, but thanks to, you know, and that goes back to just rural communities. A lot of these, you know, cowboys are also firefighters and EMTs, and they were able to get out there, and we did the emergency response as quick as possible, to allow his parents to get there. And now our ranch bronc winner gets the Jackson Taylor Memorial Award and a cash prize just because, hey, we all realize this happens, but just like in, you know, just like in farming, just like in dairy operations, just like in the cattle world, you know, bad things happen. But if we don't get back out there and take care of business, you know, people lose income, people lose jobs. It's a bad day.
Right.
And Chris, we've got an emailer question. You mentioned earlier that you served in the military, you served in the Guard, and our emailer wants to know, what is more difficult, serving in the military or doing what you're doing in terms of, you know, the rodeo?
You know, I'll be honest, like a lot of the skills overlap, and that's one thing that the foundation, the association board loves is, when it's time to start, I have everything very regimented. Hey, this is what we're doing and this is what time. And I've already got backup plans ready. My wife tells me and my board tells me, hey, we're not your airmen. We are your board members. Treat us like so. And I just kind of look at them and I do the knife hand and be like, no, please do this. So it's even, honestly, the military is fun. And I love doing the rodeo. It's a 11-month cycle now. I take 1 month off before we start again. So
wow,
yeah, so, yeah. But you know what? I would not trade it.
Yeah, you wouldn't trade this because this is some of the stuff that you have the most fun doing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, and we've given over $40,000 back to the community in over 10 years, or not 10 years, over 4 years. We give to ag youth organizations. You know, it's fun for me to, like, after all this work, to be able to go down to the FFA or, like, last year down to the county fair, two county fairs, and give money to each set of kids for their animals. So that way, you know, it just puts a little more money in their pocket and it helps that next generation of ag producers.
Oh, I love that you're helping out that next generation. And when you mentioned there's a circuit. So it's not just a one and done event. This moves around. How many events are held and kind of what's the proximity? What's the radius that folks are traveling to be a part of that?
Well, so right now there are 27 different sanctioned ranch rodeos, and we're talking about all the way from central Arizona to southern Wyoming, Nebraska, a lot in Texas, Oklahoma, and of course New Mexico, and a few in Colorado. The fun thing is like our event is one of the only ones going on that weekend that's not invitational. There's one other, it's the Texas Invitation. You have to be a Texas ranch. So we have teams that come from eastern Oklahoma. Last year we had a couple of teams from Arkansas that wanted to come. And I kind of remind them, it's like, hey guys, diesel's, you know, $3.50 a gallon here. Are you sure you want to drive 16 hours? And they're like, yep, let's do it. But that's the fun thing is, you know, it's in Santa Fe. It's in the capital. They love coming. So we've got a very big range, and we usually, I think this year we have 70 different teams that could come.
That's phenomenal. Honestly, I have a niece and nephew on a ranch rodeo team up here, and you're right. I'm going to have to remind them the cost of diesel fuel, or you're probably going to see them at some point when they get it a while there.
Well, and you know, we have a youth rodeo this year. Tell them to come on down. I'll save a spot. They're not youth anymore. Oh.
They're 18 and 19. Let them get abused like everybody else. It's fine.
Deal. Tell them to come down. It'd be fun. Not to mention it's Santa Fe.
And that's part of the questions to ask you today is that your part of the world. Somebody says New Mexico, all I think about is arid high desert. I don't think about the fact that there's much there besides desert and maybe a little bit of pasture land for your paint horses and some cattle. Tell me about your region.
Oh my gosh. So literally like where my wife works, my wife is a barn manager for a dressage and a Western horse barn. They sit at the foot of Ponderosa Pines. I mean, where we're at in this valley, we're 20 minutes from pine trees. You go into northern New Mexico and you've got this lush, massive mountains and trees. And yes, we do have a lot of like arid grassland that you think of New Mexico. We don't have the Socorro cactus like Arizona. So, you know, you're not going to see that. We are part of the United States. You do not need a passport to come. I get asked it. It's one of the things I hear, and I'm like, no. But that's the fun thing about it is you look around, and that's in southern New Mexico. They have lots of, as you said yesterday, you talked to a gentleman from Hatch that grows green chili. We've got great pecan orchards down south. In my region, they used to do a lot of pinto beans. Unfortunately, the water kind of fizzled out. But we still have a lot of hay and forage production. Yeah. So it's fun when you start looking around the state, but we have a lot of cattle and a lot of horses.
Well, Chris, I've got a question for you that deals with those horses. And a listener just messaged me and said, what's more difficult, riding horses or working with folks in the military?
You know, I will defer this to my dear friend Sarah because, you know, she's done it longer than me. But in the same respect, I would rather be on a horse any day because they at least listen to you for the most part.
Well, they don't take orders.
That's,
No,
they don't. Well, you know, and that's, I've got a yearling outside, that, you know, we bred her, I tell people from conception to birth to saddle, she's mine. And we were out there putting on a blanket last night because it got down to -5. And my wife had tried to do it, and it didn't work. And I got out there, and I kind of sweet-talked her, and we got the blanket on. And my wife looked at me, and she goes, do we need to have marriage counseling about this? Because your horse is listening to you. She goes, what sweet nothings did you say? And I said one word, cookies.
I think all of that makes good sense.
But no, yeah. I'll take a horse any day.
Now, also, you mentioned a term that not everyone's familiar with when you said your wife works with a dressage facility. Can you explain that to folks that might not know?
Yeah, so if you watch the Olympics, it's the people that wear the white pants and the knee-high boots and the little bitty saddles. It's the more – they call it English riding as well. Dressage is the German term, which I will say I've even competed in just to prove that I could do it. It's a very much more formal and much more formal and classic riding compared to what we do here in the West, which is Western riding. It's more of what came up from Mexico with the vaqueros and was turned into this hodgepodge of, what you see on TV or what you see in the rodeo arena.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, we've covered so many different topics today. I didn't know we'd get to quite so many, but what didn't we cover when it comes to the Ranch Rodeo Association?
Well, I will make my shameless plugs. You can find us on Facebook at East Mountain Rodeo Association of Edgewood. You can find us on X at Ranch Rodeo Boss. That's me. We're on Instagram too. I don't handle that. I let my girls handle that. That's one thing. We have the only ranch rodeo queen in the United States. She's been featured in Cowgirl Magazine. We put this program in 3 years ago. Our ranch rodeo Queen director is actually the current Miss Rodeo New Mexico, Alyssa Salter. She's up at the National Western Stock Show in Denver. So that's another, sorry, fun thing we do. But you can find us online. Our website, I think, is eastmountainrodeo.com. And we post all sorts of stuff. We have a lot of fun. But the big thing that you'll notice about us is we support small and local businesses throughout the country. It's not a local thing. It's like, hey, if you're willing to help us, I'm willing to promote you, which is how Bridget and I ended up here in North Dakota this morning.
That's exactly right. And it worked out fantastic. So I really appreciate the time to talk today, Chris. Thank you for that.
Nope, you're welcome. Y'all stay as warm as you can up there. And more importantly, if you don't come get your weather, I will bring it back to you.
Just call FedEx. They'll run you a special deal on it to send it back.
Oh, I bet they will. I bet. No, y'all take care. And thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks. Thanks, Chris. And you know, anytime we want to talk about Ranch Rodeo, you are welcome to join us. So, folks, don't go anywhere. We want to make sure we take that look at the headlines as well as weather when we return.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 154 in the afternoon. Temperatures finally above zero. Three above. Not bad, considering we were 23 below this morning. We're slowly crawling out of the deep freeze, and we'll see a little bit of snow, light snow or snow showers come in here towards evening and into the overnight hours. Half inch, that's going to be about it. And then briefly warmer tomorrow morning, and then much colder weather settles back in. But nothing like the cold that we've got right now. I don't see the dangerously cold weather returning for the foreseeable future, although Thursday's not going to feel nice, but it won't be as bitterly cold as what we've had over the last few days. So that's a good news. There is light at the end of the tunnel and a return to more 20s in the forecast as well, which is a little more typical for this time of the year.
Well, and I think most folks would be happy to see a little bit more typical, but we'll get there.
We will.
It'll be okay.
Before you know it, spring will be here.
Well, it really will. And one of those signs of spring comes down to when we have the Giving Hearts Day that's going to be coming up. So some of you are already thinking about who are your charities and what are the things that you want to do when it comes to Giving Hearts Day. Well, good news. Don't let that dissuade you. I too am thinking ahead about it. We've got a couple of guests booked for that day. We will be live on site for Giving Hearts Day at Dakota Medical Foundation. Just a couple of why does it exist? Well, that's because this all started quite some time ago as a bit of a guessing contest about what charity a local business was going to make a donation to. And now it's grown into what now is over 625 charities participating. 50 of them are new for the coming year. And that's inspired at least 75,000 people to give by donating dollars, food or goods, and pledging to volunteer. So there's many, many ways, not just cash, that you can be doing this. But on Giving Hearts Day in 2024, the dollar total was $29.2 million. So Giving Hearts is coming soon. I've got a couple of my favorite charities. I hope you all do too. And don't forget to check them out. Whether you just have small contributions, if you want to donate $5 to many, or if you have something big you want to donate to one, all of them appreciate the time that you give, the dollars that you share. And again, don't forget, you can also just give your time. That's worth a value to many people as well. So we have lots of folks right now in the ag world attending meetings. One of them today is the Wide World of Weeds that's going on up at at the Fargo Dome right next to NDSU. And one of the topics that they are discussing likely is how to control water hemp and some other weeds like kochia and so forth without an over-the-top dicamba label for 2025. Okay, so what does that mean? Dicamba is an active ingredient. It's sold under the brand name Extendamax, Ingenia, and Tavium. Those labels were vacated February a year ago in 2024. That was done through a federal court in Arizona. Means that you can still spray dicamba, except in the operation of over-the-top on soybeans in that traded soybean crop. So what can you do differently? You can treat it like a conventional crop, and you can go ahead and spray other herbicides, particularly pre-emergent herbicides. You can switch seed to a different trait if you would like. That works as well. Now, a lot of reliance is going to fall on glufosinate, the active ingredient in Liberty. The problem is I'm concerned that we're going to use Liberty a lot. We're going to use it not only in the soybean crop, but potentially corn and canola. And we can build resistance if we're not careful with Liberty. It's a product that works very well under the right conditions. You need 20 gallons of water and a spray mixture, the right nozzles. Let's not forget about humidity, sunshine. Those factors matter when you're spraying Liberty. And above all, we need to spray small weeds. If it's larger than a 12-ounce can of pop, you are running into, in fact, if it's larger than 4 inches, but certainly that can of pop, we run the resistance, the chance of resistance, because the weeds are too big to take in their dosage. So a reminder, we don't have dicamba. It doesn't look like we're going to have it for the over-the-top treatments in 2025, and we've got to be cautious about what we do so we don't run into issues with resistance management. So there, Agronomy 101 today. All about soybeans and dicamba.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, it'd be nice to start growing those soon. That means we got warmer weather. Can't wait.
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, for Bridget, myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. Jay Thomas has got the flu today. He had to go home sick. So the Best of Jay Thomas show is coming up next.